love. When we receive it, there's something that happens. Suddenly, we can love God even more, and we can love people around us. I remember Keenan actually brought a preach 2 weeks ago. No, it was 2 weeks ago. He spoke about loving our brothers, which is not a love that we can conjure up. So this morning, keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. So, yeah, Morris, we receive an expectation.
Doom, doom. Good morning, everyone. So it's great to be with you this morning. I hope you're all feeling strong and happy. If you can just do that and smile at me, let me just see, is there any smiles? Okay, cool. Wow. It's great to be with you this morning. Skalk, you mentioned about Mike, not... Okay. So Mike this morning is preaching at one of the outreach congregations in Worcester. So that's why he's not here. I think he's already preaching right now while I'm preaching. So let's pray for him and trust that the Lord would bless that time. But this morning, I want to share with you something that the Lord has actually done in my heart. Maybe you can put this a bit softer so that it sounds like I'm... Yeah. There's something... A few weeks ago, I was feeling very tired and down, and I had this coffee with Mike, and I was sitting, and I think his eyes were big, like, what's wrong with Morris? Why is he feeling so tired? And that evening, I was still feeling like that, and I went to bed, and at that stage, I felt like I actually need a long holiday. Like, really, I need to, I don't know, lockdown has tired me down. It was like, really, emotionally, something of just that time just brought such a tiredness on me. And in that evening, I went to sleep. Now, if you've read that scripture, the Lord will give it to those he loves in their sleep. So I had a dream that evening where I was asking myself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I, like, even involved in ministry? Why am I serving? Why are we going through all this, sitting here with masks and all the admin and all the things that we are going through? And in the dream, the Lord came and answered me. He said, it's for discipleship. If you can keep discipleship at the core of it. And it was, and for me, it was like, when I woke up, it's like, duh. It is so, we don't meet together just for church or for just to gather or to sing songs or to read Bible. We meet together because we're on a mission. We have a purpose. We have a purpose to reach people that do not know Jesus. And that, you know, just those words, how it activated my heart, much more than what a long holiday. I still think I'll get a holiday somewhere. But it's just something of purpose and just something of the Lord's heart for us as His people. Now, Jesus' last words wasn't the words that He spoke on the cross when He said, it is finished. Imagine if it ended there, at that place. It is finished. It didn't end there. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And then, just before He went to heaven, He said this following words. I just want to get this thing out here. If you can click on it, just on the arrow, so I can just get control of it. Thank you. I'm not working. Okay, just can you work it for me, please? Just go to the... Okay, and this was actually the last words to His disciples weren't, it is finished. He said, actually, it is begun. It has begun. Go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. He said, it is not over. It has started. And that mission has not ended today. It is still going. And now that lockdown is opening up and we can do social visits, it has begun. There is a great opportunity for us as God's people to make disciples. And you know what? If we lose sight of that in this time, we actually will lose what we are all about. We're not just about coming to meetings, sitting in a building where it's cold and you have a mask on your face. I somehow this morning I got an idea or just a glimpse of what people feel like when they wear glasses, because my nose felt like it was damping up inside. I don't know if some of you have the same experience, but it's just like condensation in your nose. It's not nice. But we have a purpose. God has given us this thing. And it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always. Now, we wouldn't have been here today, sitting in this building, if those men did not go. If they didn't go, if they didn't tell of what Jesus had done in their lives, we wouldn't have heard the message of Jesus. If it ended at "it is finished," it probably would have been some legacy that would have passed away. But the stories of Jesus is still alive within us today because of disciples who made disciples, who made disciples, because of the Word of God that is still real, alive within us. And I want to, something of what caught light in my heart that day when I woke up that morning is that we are on a mission and God has called each one of us to make a disciple. Now, what does a disciple make? What is a disciple? Who makes disciples? Am I a disciple? Are you a disciple? What are you, somebody that is a disciple of Jesus? Now, it's clear from Scripture that people that makes disciples are disciples themselves. And they are followers of Jesus. And I want to look at that this morning. But who I am today, Morris standing here, is the result, is the fruit of people that build into my life. I can mention names like Dominie Tertius, William Warren, Tani Dini, Tani Rachi, Jan and Wendy Slabbert, Yuri Kriel, Cassie du Plessis. These are people, Siloam, these are names of people that discipled me, that spoke and spent time in my life. I remember, and just, there's something, when Jesus came, not, I can't remember that, but I'm going to say something I remember now. But when Jesus spoke to Peter and Andrew, when he called them, and in Matthew 4, verse 19, he says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." He gave them this invitation, say, "Come and follow me." I remember a day where I was 18 years old. I was doing service here for Christ, Dienstjaar voor Christus. At Claymont, we had our training, and I was washing my plate. I'm insecure, scared, young man, amongst a bunch of strangers, and here I am. I'm going to give a year of my life to the Lord. I'm washing my dishes. I almost want to just hide away and just stand there. And this guy comes, and he stands next to me. His name was William Warren. He said, "Morris, I just feel that there's something that the Lord has on your life, and I just want to call that out, and I just want to acknowledge that." You know, that moment defined me. Something in that moment is like somebody sees something in me that Christ has put in me. And somehow the call of discipleship is going and seeing what as God has placed in each individual that is here and calling that out. And if we just sit in our comfort zones and we just come to meetings, if we just do Christian things on our own, we're missing the point. We're missing the point of why Jesus, why he is so worthy. He is so worthy because he died, not just so that he could say, "It is finished," so that he say, "It has begun." Go and make disciples wherever you go. So this call of discipleship is like an invitation. If you can go to the next one. I want to say to you, you are invited. Imagine getting this invitation like Peter. Next one. If you can go, thanks, Joel. Oh, one back. Not. Okay, go. All right, let's go to the... let me just say that quick. Healthy people, the goal of discipleship is healthy people who know, who love and obey Jesus, and who disciple others to do the same. Okay, then I think this one is going to come. Just go to the next one. Again? Yeah. Imagine you get this invitation and the words of Jesus, he says, "Come and follow me." And you open it up. It's like, oh. Jesus has just given me an invitation to follow him. Yeah. And Peter and Andrew, they left everything. They left their nets. Each of the men, Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said, Jesus, I don't know if you've watched The Chosen, that series. Is that just like, follow me? And the invitation is there to you this morning. It has not changed. Each one of us has this invitation this morning to be somebody, a disciple of Jesus, but also someone that makes disciples. All right. So if we can go to the next thing. So what is a disciple? If you can go to the next one. Thank you. It's a threefold call. And this is not my cleverness. This is something I've learned from my friends from every nation. A few years ago, even the Lord has released that. It's a threefold call, what Jesus did when he called him. He said, follow, fellowship, and fish. Those three things. We're going to look at those three things quickly in a few minutes that we have left. And let's go to the first one, follow. Oh, yeah. I forgot. The call of a discipleship is a call to a relationship. And it's basically a relationship with God, a relationship with other believers, and a relationship with people who do not know Jesus. That's a call to making disciples. Okay, let's go to follow. Am I right? Yes! Cool. So, Jesus, when he called his disciples to follow him, it wasn't a call like we would follow somebody on Facebook. And you just click follow, and you watch them from the outside. You don't even spend time with them. It's not an outside. You look in from the outside. It was a call to follow him. And the word follow was used about 20 times in the Gospels. And it's got two different meanings. The first meaning, and I think you can go to the next one. So the first meaning, yes, click. There. The first meaning of the first two times that it was used, it's like you were going in this direction. You were fishing, you were a fisherman, and then I'm coming and I'm saying, follow me, change your direction, come behind me. It wasn't like, follow me in a distance, follow me occasionally, it's come behind me. Jesus is saying, come behind me and follow me where I am going. And then the second meaning that's found in the meaning of the word follow is it's used about 18 times. It says to accompany and to imitate. So come behind me, change your direction, and come behind me, accompany me, not from a distance, and imitate me. This is a disciple, somebody that follows Jesus. Now I want to ask you this morning, how are you doing with your following? Following Jesus didn't just stay with one prayer you prayed when you gave your life to Jesus. Are you actively obeying him? Somebody that knows him. The goal of disciples is to know Jesus, to obey him. What is he speaking to you currently, which you know that you are not obeying? Because if you say you're following him, somehow there would be a reality in obeying the words that he's speaking to you. And I want to leave that question here this morning. If you say, I'm a disciple, I want to ask you, what are the things that he's speaking to you at this stage that you need to attend to? And maybe you need to say sorry this morning. Say, God, sorry. I don't know, I've become lazy. I've become lukewarm. I was like zealous. I was running. I was telling people about you. But now it's just about my comfort, about what I want. Jesus, I want to come behind you. I want to accompany you. And I want to imitate who you are. And you were somebody that told others about yourself. Can I hear an amen on that? Just, I know it's like hectic. Oh, how am I doing with my following? Am I doing okay? And it's not that it should be like we want to follow Jesus in the way that he wants us to follow him. We don't want to just be religious Christians that just look at him from the outside. Just We follow him on a live stream. Sorry, guys, on a live stream. But it's like we follow him not just from the outside. There's something of amazingness if you're in here and you can feel the sense of being together. And that's something that with Jesus said there. The two things. Let me just get you to my notes. It's an invitation to a relationship. And then, I don't know why this thing is not working. Okay, let's go on. Sorry, Joel, you can just go. So, yeah, the following, the second word, actually, it means also this thing, is what I do, what I say, how I live my life, this is how you are to live your life. And Jesus came to his disciples, come behind me, accompany what I do, what I say, how I live my life. That's how I want you to live your life. And for us to know that, we actually also need to come close to him. And we find that through scripture. We find, I've heard some of the guys I've been just studying is a guy called Floyd McClung, which is really his message is one of making disciples. And he said, whenever he start discipling somebody, he asked them to read the Gospels over and over and over and over so that you can know what Jesus was saying, so that you can know who he was, so that you know who is this person that you're following. It's not like, I know with that previous picture, it's not Jesus, it's not here, but he has given us the Holy Spirit, he's given us the scriptures, and he's revealing himself in the scriptures in that. But that is not just enough. We need to follow with others. It's not just about following alone. If you look at the early disciples, they did not attempt to follow Jesus alone. They follow him. Follow him meant following him with other believers. Are you following Jesus alone? Or are you following him with other believers? Those names I mentioned earlier, I learned to forgive with Tani Dini that shared her story, her testimony. I learned to not to be easily offended with some experiences that I had to go through with other believers. I learned some of the things. I learned to worship through this guy, William Warren. He bought me my first guitar. He actually sowed in my life to buy my first guitar that I could actually start leading. He invested in my life. I learned to pray. Kasi. I've learned to pray in such a, just not just praying prayers, but those are the people I've grown. I've learned to follow Jesus with others, and I've grown. So a disciple is somebody not just following Jesus alone, but you follow him with other believers. Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, and let us not neglect, you can go to that verse. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some may do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, you can go to the next one. So the reason why we neglect our gathering is maybe because we're busy or there's difficult times, like we're going through financial struggles or we're going through the COVID thing. It's difficult. There's sometimes reasons why we neglect. We neglect our gathering because maybe there's an offense. We're struggling with somebody and we haven't spent time and actually to forgive that person. I think with the word that came out even this morning, it's like you need to forgive. Maybe there's something of that is hindering you to maybe press into relationships. And then the last one is maybe distractions. Maybe you think it's okay just to follow the Lord from a distance. But it is no replacement for face-to-face, in person. There's no replacement for that. We need one another. God did not design us being disciples doing this alone. He has given us his body, his church, his bride to live our Christianity. Because in that, we will grow. Otherwise, we will just stagnate. If we can go on to the next one. This is an example again. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those. It is, there's something of an intention in this. It's like pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with those who the Lord has called from a pure heart. God is calling us to experience these things together. And as a new believer, as somebody that's been following Jesus for a long time, God has called you to rub shoulders with other saints so that you can pursue love together, that you can pursue His love, His faith together, and peace, and with other believers. God has not called us to do this alone. Yes, next one. Thanks, Joel. And the thing about discipleship, it's not a haphazard, occasional kind of thing. It's intentional. It's something you build into relationship. It's not just let's go have fellowship for the sake of having coffee or just, but there's intention when we come together. There's intention to build in one another's lives. There's intention to share what is Jesus doing in my life. Now, many of us think, but what do I have to give? I'm saved for a year or 2 months or 3 months. What can I disciple somebody? Have you read one chapter more than the next person that you lead to the Lord? you can show them what the Lord has been teaching you out of that chapter. And then you can, if you don't know the answer to something, you call somebody that you know and say, hey, we're going to have coffee with Quissy. And we're going to spend time with Quissy. He's asking this question about just holiness. I don't know how to answer him. Can we have coffee together? There's something of that togetherness that we as God's people can decide. We're intentional. It's clear goals. I want to encourage you, if you're a new believer and you haven't gotten somebody just to walk a road with you, I want to encourage you, find somebody. And this time say, hey, will you walk with me? Will you help me to go through the foundations and spend some time with me. Let's drink coffee. Let's speak about Jesus. Let's speak about what the Lord has done in your life. And I want to encourage you, it's not about how much you know, because discipleship is not a transferring of knowledge. It's a formation. It's time. So what you share is what Jesus has done in your life. So I want to encourage you that there's a call upon us as the people of God, to not just sit in our comfort, but to with others, disciple others, to love Jesus more. Spiritual reproducing fruit naturally. Somebody that is a disciple will reproduce. It's a natural thing that comes forth. If I have an apple tree and it's not bringing forth apples, there's something wrong with the tree, and I need to go and look so that this tree can bring forth apples again. And there's something of this, like, Lord, how am I doing in following you? How am I doing in following you with others? And so that I want to see the lasting fruit in people's life, because you said it has begun. Let us go and share with others what Jesus has done. Hey, that sounds like a rap song. Next one. Other people will balance us out, will bring our stuff out, will round out our strength and our weaknesses. Who have you experienced just being around people is like, you rub shoulders. We need that. We need that for other people. That's how we grow, and that's how we will help others to grow if we spend time with others. Next one is the last point. And then it's follow, fellowship, and fish. These were criteria of a disciple. And Jesus said, if you follow me, what will come forth, that natural reap, is somebody that will fish for men. Somebody that will have a relationship with those that do not know Jesus and share what Jesus has done in their lives. That is the fruit. Okay, you can go to the first one. He said this invitation. And I put this picture here with the glass, if you can see that, with the water overflowing. As we follow Jesus and spend time with Him, with other believers, He pours into our lives with faith and love and mercy and grace. And to the point where it starts overflowing. And out of that overflow, we share of what He is doing in our lives. And that's the life that we share. It's like, there's something of this. It's not just for me. This, I'm not just following Jesus for so that I can go to heaven. Just imagine if it all ended at it is finished. Then we all would just go to heaven. But it didn't end. It was like, let's get others. It's an open invitation for others to follow Jesus. Next one. Thanks, Joel. I love the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 40. For Christ's love compels us. The love thing this morning, as strong as death. This, the love of God compels us. It drives us. It motivates us to share this, what Jesus has done in our lives. Next one. If a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, fishes for people, and fellowship with other believers, then, you can go to the next one. Then discipleship is simply the process of helping people follow Jesus, fishing for people, and fellowship with other believers. The process is actually, it's really helping others to do what you are doing yourself. Now, this is something, and it is not easy to make disciples, but yet it's simple. it's not always easy to step out of your comfort zone and to share what Jesus has done in your life, but yet it's so simple. And something that any one of us can do. Any one of us can share what Jesus has done in your life. And here's another thing that Floyd McClung also said. He says, the role of a disciple maker is to facilitate people discerning what God is saying to them and then walking a journey with them to walk it out. And I love that. It's like you're just coming alongside what Jesus is already doing in somebody's life. And he's just like, what is Jesus saying to this individual? And how can I walk with Pity or Kwesi or of Richard? How can I walk and helping him hear what and walk that out? And if we say discipleship is about following Jesus and obeying him, how can I come alongside and walk with you to see that you also become a disciple of Jesus who makes disciples? It is disciples who makes disciples. And this invitation I want to extend to us this morning. I want to say, it has begun. You can have social visits. You can invite people here. We will make space for them. It has begun. Jesus has news that is good. And he wants it to reach hearts of those who do not know him. And I want to invite you. I want to exhort you. I want to call you as Wellington Aim. And I say, God has called us to make disciples. We will not lose sight. Many things will happen in years to come. But one thing that will stay at the center is that he has not stopped calling us to make and share the good news of Jesus with others. Because we love, because the love of God compels us, but also to not just make spiritual orphans, but to really trust the Lord that we build in people's life, that they will walk out the full life that Jesus has given them. Amen. I need to close. I want to leave just one question with us. First invitation, it has begun. Go make disciples. Secondly, a question that I want you to go and just spend time with the Lord and ask him, Lord, is there any area in my life that you are aware of, or that I'm aware of, that I'm not fully walking in obedience in following you, Jesus? And will you go and do business with God in that area? Will you step out and follow him in this area? And just do that step today. And then this morning, I want to ask, if you're sitting here and it's your first time actually visiting us and you just came and you know you're not following Jesus. You're actually still living for yourself. You see, this is what sin does. Sin is like, I'm living for myself. I'm living for my pleasure. I'm living for what I want. But Jesus said, sin is actually bringing a division between you and me. We see it through the scriptures. It's like Sin has brought a division, and man has tried everything to get to God, but they could not. The only way to the Father was through His Son Jesus. And Jesus had to die on a cross and had to say, "It has begun," so that our sins, our sins can be forgiven, so that we can become disciples. So with every eye closed, I just want to give an opportunity. I don't want to close without this. So if you are here today and you have not said, "Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you." I'm not speaking like following Him again. That's what you're going to do tonight. You're going to make right with the Lord if there's an area where you are. But if this is for the first time, if you have not committed your life to Jesus and you have not said, "Yes, Jesus, I want to be your disciple," can you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Is there anyone here this morning? Cool. Looks like nobody. Yes, so Father, I just want to pray for us. And I want to thank you, Lord, that we can say, "It has begun." And I pray, Lord, that you will stir something in our hearts, that your love of Christ this morning will come and compel us, will move within us. Will you move in such a mighty way within us, Lord, that we will go out and that we will help others as we are following you, that we will help others to come behind you, to accompany you, to imitate you, Lord, to follow, to have fellowship with you, Lord, with other believers and sharing from our lives. And also then, Lord, to help others to fish for Jesus, fish for people to come to you, and fish for people to get to know you, Father. We trust you for that to happen in us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.